Welcome back to Hakun or Lorcana, a worry-free podcast about the Disney stories we love and the Lorcana cards they inspire. I'm Caleb.
And I'm Katie. Today is our very first bonus feature Friday.
Aw, yeah. So,
so it's fun. It's cool. We wanted to have a way to cover topics that aren't necessarily tied to the, you know, the mission statement of our podcast where we're talking about movies and Disney Lorcana together. So that we thought the best way to do this is to, you know, have our own little bonus episode. So that way, instead of having a 3-hour episode, now you have these little bonus ones where we talk about, you know, something we think is fun.
Yeah.
So this one's especially timely because we're talking about a special topic that's coming up. So what are we covering today?
Yeah. So we got set championships coming up next week. You know, this is dropping on Friday, April 12th, and which is, you know, April 19th is when set championships start. So we wanted to just take a few minutes to discuss what to expect at a TCG tournament, since this very well could be some people's like first card game tournament that they've ever gone to, maybe their first tournament like at all, anything. So you know, I have some experience going to tournaments. Like, I grew up playing sports, so I've been to, you know, swim meets and soccer games and football games and everything like that. Probably the closest thing to something like this from the sports world would have been wrestling tournaments that I went to, where, you know, you get a matchup and then you go and wrestle your round and then you wait for your next matchup and so on and so forth. But I've also done, I used to play some Super Smash Bros, which was super fun. Mm. And I actually went to some tournaments, around Colorado for that and did terribly. was not good at it, but I had fun, but it was still a tournament. You know, you show up and you get paired and all of that kind of stuff. And now, Disney Lorcana, I've gone to probably half a dozen tournaments or so. And you know, I've picked up quite a bit of know-how along the way from those. So, Katie, do you have any, you know, tournament experience?
Well, you know, I was going to say I had no tournament experience in sports, but you did make me remember in high school I was a wrestling cheerleader, which you might say. Oh. Wrestling cheerleaders. Is that a thing? It is.
Yes.
They don't stand up. But you're right. TCGs are very similar to wrestling, where it is, you know, you have a match, then you wait, you match. So,
yep.
But I didn't play in that tournament. Now, I did used to play Magic the Gathering. Now, this was back in 2013, 2014. Okay. And so I would play, you know, the Friday Night Magic kind of tournaments where it's just little. And then my husband and his friends were like, we want to go to a Grand Prix. And a Grand Prix is very similar to the challenge events that are coming up. So at the time I lived in Nebraska, we drove up to Minneapolis. So that's, you know, 7 hours away. It was a journey to do it.
Yeah.
I was ready. I had my deck. It was Affinity for any Magic players. And I walked into the room and it was the biggest room I've ever seen in my life, with the most people I've ever seen in my life and the most tables I've ever seen in my life. How did they get that many tables? I don't know. And I did not play that day because I was like, well, you know, that's the end of my career.
Yeah.
So we wanted to do this because I think, you know, you play the game. A lot of us play on League, and some of us don't play on League. They just play with their friends, and
yeah,
it can be different. Tournaments are just a very different world than a Lorcana League night. It's very different than your kitchen table. So we wanted to just kind of talk about, you know, what to expect when you're expecting to play your first tournament.
Yes. And so this is kind of our implicit way of saying, like, we really want you to go and play a tournament. Like, it's something that you should do as someone who loves Lorcana. Tournaments should be a place that anybody who loves Lorcana and wants to play in a tournament should be able to go to. Now, not everybody there like necessarily has that mentality. You know, there might be people who show up to these things and don't really think about the other people that are around them, or just want, you know, other people who have been playing card games for 15 years to be the ones that show up. But you know, that's kind of the cool thing about Lorcana, is the inclusivity of it all. And so, you know, even if it does sound like a tall order, or, you know, this isn't something that you're really comfortable with in the past, like, you know, even reach out to us in DMs or through our email. Like, we'd love to talk with you if that's something that is giving you like some nervousness about going, because this is a place for you, and you should go. If you have a deck and you know how to play Lorcana, then this these set championships are for you. So we want to just kind of equip you and encourage you in every way that we can, so that, you know, you feel the most familiar at a at a place like a Lurkana tournament. So, Katie, why don't you kick us off? What's like, what should we, maybe what's one thing that we should be thinking about, like, days or even, you know, this comes out a week before set championships. What's one thing that I could be thinking about like today, a week before set championships start?
Yeah. I mean, if you've already listened to our episode this week, you'll hear us talk about picking a deck. I mean, that's the first thing you have to do is say, what am I going to play? I think people will talk about the meta a lot, and the meta is such a strange, ambiguous little word because the meta just means what's going on right now. And sometimes people talk about meta like it's a monolith. Like if you say meta, it's the same thing in all world, in the entire world at the same time. But I think a tournament this weekend showed me and maybe other people that the meta is a moment in time and it changes as fast as it's established. Where, I mean, what I'm referring to is, you know, I think if you asked everybody what's the deck that's going to win, people would probably say Steel Song. They'd say Ruby Amethyst Bounce. They'd say Sapphire Steel. And out of nowhere, an evasive Emerald Ruby deck won.
Yeah, because that deck is insane. Like, where did that deck come from?
So it's nothing even. So, and I think what that tells me, though, is you need to pick a deck that you like, that's comfortable, and keep in mind, you might build a deck that's really good and you might be really good in it and the meta doesn't support it where you end up winning.
Sure.
I guess my big thing is, just knowing that the first thing to do is decide on a deck, but also keep in mind you will never pick a deck that's going to win in all scenarios all the time. That's just not going to happen. So it's just, you have to keep that in mind that it's what you like and what you want to play.
Yep. Yeah. You kind of have to come to peace with the idea that like there are matchups that your deck is not going to be like good into, and you just kind of have to be okay with that. You know, in previous Lurkana metas, like during Rise of the Floodborne, it did feel like it kind of settled down into Ruby Amethyst, you know, was like kind of dominant. It was the one trump kind of deck, but that does not, I can tell you right now, that doesn't exist in Into the Inklands right now. There are many viable decks. You know, I would say there's probably like five or six ink colors that are like ink combinations that are very viable, but like you said, Emerald Ruby was not on my radar, but it just won a tournament in France. So you never know.
So play what you like. So at the end of the day, if you're like, I love Amber Sapphire, it's my favorite deck, then build that deck, play that deck, and there's no telling what's going to happen. Because I think that's the other thing. This sounds very, it could sound depressing, but I hope it doesn't. I mean, statistically speaking, most of us are going to lose.
Yeah, that's the reality.
At the end of the day, So pick the deck you like to play, and also remember that there's chance. I mean, at the end of the day, your pairings, they're after the first and second round, they start being a little bit more predictable because it's based on results. But your first match, I mean, it could be the worst matchup possible for you, and that's just the luck of the draw. And luck of the draw, your hand is random. So, there's so much that goes into that day. So I just think keeping in mind that pick the deck you like and know that anything can happen on tournament day and you don't know.
Variance is a real thing. I mean, we're playing a TCG. If you're not a fan of variance, then go play chess or something, you know? Like, you just kind of have to accept the fact that you're not always going to get your perfect draws and you're going to maybe match into a matchup that you're not favored into, and it's just going to happen, and that's totally okay. So yeah, picking your deck, knowing what you're going to play, you know, there's, in my mind, there's two ways to kind of evaluate a deck. There's an objective kind of way to look at it, and then a subjective way. So the objective way would be considering like how good it is, like its power level, so to say, like on like maybe on a scale of 1 to 10. And then there's the subjective side, which you're kind of talking about, of being comfortable. Like, do I know how to play this deck? Do I know the different lines and like how to mulligan the deck and feeling comfortable with it? And I would just say, like, value the comfortability of a deck more than the objective power of the deck. So if you're kind of trying to decide between two decks and maybe one is a 9 out of 10 on power and the other is a 7 out of 10, but you're a 9 out of 10 on comfortability with the 7 out of 10 power, you know, I would, but you're only comfortable like a 5 out of 10 with the more powerful deck, play the one that you're more comfortable with. Like, you're going to have more fun that day, and you're probably going to do better, even though you might not believe it. Like, you will do better.
Yeah, because I mean, I think so much of knowing your deck you'll see sometimes people who can play kind of fast because it starts being like a decision tree. You start to see repeating patterns of certain matchups, certain curves, certain plays. So the more you play your deck, the more, once it comes tournament days, you can get yourself out of different situations because you know how to with the cards you have in your deck.
Exactly. And we'll kind of talk about play speed here in a minute, but you're exactly right. Like if you're not familiar with your deck, you're going to be taking a lot more time making your moves, and that's not going to serve you well throughout the day. So, and then I'd say, you know, knowing your deck ahead of time. And then the second thing is logistics. Just know like where you're going, when it is, how long it's going to take for you to get there. Are you going to carpool? Are you going solo? You know, take some time to just figure out the logistics of each tournament that you're going to be going to. It can be, don't assume that it's going to be easy to like know it. A lot of these set championships are happening at stores that I haven't been to before, or I've only been to like once or twice. And so I kind of have to think intentionally ahead of time of like, you know, when am I going to be leaving my house and all that kind of stuff. So making sure you have the logistics figured out.
Be like a little kid and pack your backpack the night before. And I think when we say pack your backpack, you might say, what am I putting in that backpack? Well, that's a great question. Yes. You are going to pack a couple things. You're going to put your deck. You're going to check your deck three times because you're going to have a deck list. And deck lists are important in tournaments because it is proof that you're not going in between rounds and switching out cards and doing things that are not permissible or legal in a tournament. So the night before, get out your deck, take a picture of your cards, fill up the deck list. Each store is going to be, I think now that it's Melee, things are going to get a little bit more standardized. But I think I would look up every store on Facebook and just see if they have any posts about, we need you to get here by X time, we need it in this format. Every store is going to be a little bit different than I think it will be like for challenges, because, you know, challenges are standardized. This is store to store might be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So, and then also, Caleb will agree with this because I saw you had it in your backpack. Little snacks and water.
Yes. Please do this for yourself. Like, future you will be so happy that you put two plastic water bottles and two granola bars in your backpack. It's going to go a long way.
You might know that a lot of game stores, sometimes they have food and sometimes they have beverages, but
sometimes they don't. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes they're not things you want to eat. You're like, I don't know if I can handle having a full sugar Red Bull right now. So, you know, if you pack it, it's in there. And then you're set because the day is long. It is, even the shortest tournament is going to be at least 5 hours, probably. I can't imagine any tournament being shorter than 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. I mean, by rule, the shortest tournament could be 8 players, which would be 3 rounds, and then champion from there. So if you have 8 players, it could be pretty short. But if you have 9 or more, then you're looking at least 5 hours. So
yeah.
And not only may they might not have food, but they might not even give you a lunch break or a dinner break. Yeah. I've been to some tournaments where they do factor in like a half an hour for people to eat some food after like the first 3 rounds of play. And then other tournaments, they're like, we don't have time for that. We have to push all the way through. And so, yeah, you might be there for 6 or 7 hours and they're not going to give you time in between rounds to go get food. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. So, you know, get some beef jerky. You're going on a hike.
Yes.
So the other thing I will say is, knowing that it's going to be a long day, bringing a backup battery, bringing headphones. I say that, and this is when we start saying, you know, this isn't what everyone needs to do. This is what Caitlin needs to do, or Katie needs to do, is I get very overwhelmed with how much thinking goes on in the day. Yes. So I am somebody where between rounds, I'm not making eye contact with a single human. I'm looking at my phone. I'm looking into the space. I can't do it. So headphones are a good way to kind of signal to people around you to be like, I'm not in service right now. Mm-hmm. So that's like a nice thing to have to kill time, because you might get a bye. That's the other thing, is you might have an hour and you might not have any friends that are free too. So you're just kind of sitting for an hour. So headphones are a great way to chill out.
Yeah, friends are a great way to use time in between rounds. You know, you can kind of check in and kind of debrief the round you just played, and you can kind of, you know, being able to reiterate what you just did helps you learn. But if that's overwhelming, whether you have people there that you're familiar with or not, like if you just need to check your brain out for that 10 minutes before the next round starts, like do that. Do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to be really exhausting your mental energy throughout the day. And so do whatever it takes for you to, you know, to last so that you can get to that top four and get that Stitch promo, you know?
Yeah. And the last two things I'd put in your Lorcana backpack is pen and paper, because mm-hmm. that's something that most stores don't provide. And it's pretty critical to keep track of yours and your opponent's life. That's the only thing you can write down. So you don't have to worry about taking notes. It's just purely for life. Lore. Sorry. I'm going to get in trouble.
We'll forgive you.
I know, right? I'm like, no, I'm sorry. And then the last thing I put is bring your trades. Because, I mean, there's going to be other people with stuff. And you probably will have time to kill at some point. So yeah. Having your trades can be a fun way to be like, if you don't know the people, trades are a great place to start any conversation with somebody.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, bring something to fidget with. You know, you said you headphones. You know, if you read a book, bring your book. If you crochet, bring some yarn, you know, like yes. whatever it takes, like to keep you in your zone, to keep you grounded to where you are before you jump into your next round. Like, you know, do that for sure.
Yeah.
Get a good night's rest the night before, you know, and make sure you're waking up in time. Eat a good breakfast before you head out, so that you do have that energy and you're not just relying on snacks all day, but you actually have that breakfast to lean on. Yeah, I don't know. Anything else cross your mind before the tournament starts, Katie?
No, I think we're all the way now too. It's tournament day. You've woken up. What time are you getting to the tournament?
I am getting to the tournament within the first, I would say, 10 to 20 minutes of registration, whenever that is. So
yeah,
typically I might even get there right at registration. I might get there 10 minutes before registration. So if the tournament starts at noon and they say registration's at 11, then I'm honestly shooting to be there at like 11 or 11:15. Just give yourself that time.
Yeah, everything I say, you're going to be like, wow, this girl's really anxious. And yes, but I am like the person where I have to physically see my gate when I get before I like can go do anything at an airport. I'm like, okay, it's here. And then you can go relax. So
yeah.
I'm somewhere where I'd rather even get to the parking lot and hang out, just because, you know, I don't know. There, lots of these are in cities. Not like, I mean, I'm only going to one event that's actually in the city I live in. All the other ones are in different cities. So, you know, get there, hang out. Go to McDonald's. I don't know. But yeah. I think getting there early, it's never going to backfire being there early, except for, you know, you're like, you don't have to kill time. But if you brought stuff in your backpack, you're fine.
Then you're good. Yeah. So. Even getting to like a half a mile away. Yeah. And then hanging out at McDonald's or like at a park or something like that, just to get some fresh air before you go inside. Like, that's a good idea. Cause then you never know, like a car accident could happen. And you know, you thought that you were going to get there 20 minutes early, but now you're late. And you know, that would just be awful. So yeah, again, with the logistics, just like make sure you're getting there with plenty of time to register. Just kind of bank on the fact that other players are going to get there like 10 minutes before start.
Yeah.
And just so that you can help the tournament organizers, the TOs, get there early, get your deck list registered, and, you know, just be shuffling your deck, you know, with 20 minutes before round one starts.
Yeah. I'm going to be shuffling my deck 4,000 times, because that's how many times I feel like I need to do before I'm like, yeah, it's ready. I will say that this is like a caveat for any kind of anxious men or women out there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people before tournaments, they love to talk shop. They're going to come up to you and say, what are you playing? What's your tech? What's your deck list? And like, they're excited. And this is them having fun. I take things extremely personally. So if someone comes up to me and says, oh, you're running goat. Goat is so goated. I don't know. If they say anything, even like trying to be funny, trying to be nice, I might dissolve internally. So if you don't want to do that kind of talk, you can say, oh, I'm not sharing. Or you can, you know, it's everyone has a different vibe of what they like to do. So that's why I think headphones, it's a little not social, but I can't do that. I can't do small talk about my deck before the game or even after the game, probably ever, because I will probably take it personal. So, but just know that there's going to be tons of people probably wanting to talk. I mean, the minute you put out cards, someone's going to walk next to you and be like, what you running? Because everybody is very excited.
And not only are they excited, but they're incredibly, like, there are people that are going to show up to these things who are really competitive. And they want to get an edge as much as they can. And they know that psychology plays a big role in winning a trading card game tournament. And they're going to try to use these things to their advantage. And so, you know, I don't say that to like demonize people who do this kind of thing. Like I'll ask people what they're running. Like, I don't mind, but, you know, don't feel like you have to divulge anything, you know, you can give unserious answers to that, you know, I don't even know anything about another magic. Like, I might tell them magic colors, you know, I might tell them that I'm running like a black red deck or something like that. I don't know. Like, and that you're basically signaling to them that like, I'm not going to answer your question. That's something that you can do.
Yeah. You got to protect your peace. I think that's a reoccurring theme is, you know, you're your own little ecosystem. You know what's going to make you happy. And if you're somebody that's easily intimidated, and if you walk into a room with people, you're like, I have to leave, then just know you don't, you know, you can make a little of a zone of happiness for you, even though it's still kind of anxious because, you know, it's a competition. It's hard. Yeah. You can't not make a competition a little anxious.
Yeah. And having people there that are in your corner that you already know before you show up, that can help a lot, you know. So talk to the people at your LGS, see which set championships they're all going to, see if you can, you know, you don't necessarily have to carpool, but at least like that way you have somebody to be with that can kind of bail you out of weird situations or something like that. Not to say that that's going to happen, but I always like having people there that I can talk to, and I don't feel like I just have to small talk with people that I don't know. But, you know, Katie, you and I are going to be at several together, and, you know, that's nice to know that I'm going to have a friend there.
I don't know. You beat me last time. So is that nice to know? There's one where I'm like, I got to go to one where Caleb's not there. So then at least I can maybe. so it's good.
I don't think we're totally lined up. I think we have a few that were going to separate spots.
I have a chance. There's a chance. And I think I might be running a different deck. But either way. So, knowing who's going to be there, that can kind of help. As long as you have like one buddy, even if it's like a passive, like we just play on League, it can be nice.
Yeah.
So we got there. We're checked in. We're waiting for the matches to start. I think now we can kind of rapid fire. Obviously know the rules. So we won't go through. These are the rules. But I think there's some etiquette. There's some things that, you know, you might see that's very different than a casual Lurkana night. So we can kind of go back and forth on things that I think is good to know from an etiquette standpoint that you might not know is very normal in a tournament.
For sure.
Are there any etiquette things that you want to cover?
Yeah, I would say just know how to shuffle your deck quickly. Even having it shuffled before the timer starts, don't try to use timer time to shuffle. Know all of the, make sure that you're saying things out loud as you do them, like drawing for turn or things like that, just so that it's transparent to your opponent. When you ink a card, you know, make sure that they know what card it is that you're inking. Don't just like put it down super fast and be rude that way. You know, there's just small things that it's important to be self-aware of as you go through your play style to make sure that it's efficient so that you're not wasting time, but that it's a fair fight, so to say, between you and your opponent, that you're being respectful of them and they're being respectful of you.
Yeah. And I say it's very – so one thing so my husband called them like kitchen table rules, and that's a very good way to put it is, you know, when you play with your friends and family or at League, there are things where you go, I forgot to ink. I forgot a trigger. There's not really that. Unfortunately, it's kind of – I think of it like, you know, if you watch an NFL or an NBA game, nobody's ever being like, I forgot to take a penalty shot. If you miss it, you miss it. That's just – it is – you can't go back. Sometimes, I mean, there's a chance you can ask. I mean, asking isn't illegal, but at the end of the day, they have no incentive to say, yeah, you can do that thing that harms me because you forgot to do it. So keeping in mind that this isn't – this is still a competition. People pay to be here. And to that, I will also say, like Caleb was saying, if you talk things out loud, it helps in two ways. It helps your opponent not know, because sometimes it seems like if you're playing Sapphire, like you're doing some magical trick and you're like, what are you doing? So talking through, A, helps your opponent, but B, helps you. If you talk through, all right, I'm going to ready my characters. I do this trigger, my land, I get two lore, and now I draw. If you talk it out, you're reminding yourself and you're telling them. And I think it's a win-win because ultimately you're creating a story where your opponent doesn't know, like, what are you doing over there? And you're remembering, you know, like, one, I always forget is Beast, you get to draw two cards, but I'm so excited that I don't draw two cards and you don't get another chance. You don't get to say, I forgot to draw a card. I forgot to do my lore.
Yeah, that's a good trigger to bring up. Like, let's say I have Beast Tragic Hero on the board and I only draw one card and then I get halfway into my turn and I remember I didn't draw a card. Like, if I'm playing with just some friends at League or at the kitchen table, I'd be like, okay, yeah, you know, draw it. But if I'm in a tournament, like, I know I'm not letting myself draw that. I mean, I might ask them if they'd let me, and if they say yes, then I'll do it. But if my opponent does that and they forget to draw their second card off of Beast Tragic Hero, I'm not letting them do that. You know, because it's a tournament and there's these Stitch promo cards on the line. Like, it's, you got to know your triggers. So yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. And I think other kind of table rules are things like where you like take backs. And then the other one is making sure that if you're on the draw, or rather if you're making the call of who wants to go first, you don't look at your cards and say, oh, I do want to go first. You have to make that call. And all of these are just rules. So I think it's just knowing the rules and knowing that.
Know the rules.
And it's your job to hold yourself accountable and the other person accountable. You have to hold both accountable. So that's the double incentive.
Yes. And the biggest advocate in your corner in any discrepancy is going to be the judge. Do not be afraid to call the judge if there is some misunderstanding. If you know that something is the way that it is and your opponent is contesting it, don't figure it out between you and your opponent. You know, you might ask an initial question and see if they like realize their mistake or something like that. But if there's any sort of like deliberation, call a judge immediately, and then they will be the objective, you know, moderator, getting both sides of the story and things like that. And that's also where like a pen and paper to record lore can be helpful, because if you're keeping like a history of how lore has been gained and whatnot, then you have like a way to say like, oh, you know, they quested twice or something, you know, like that. So,
I think my last technical tip is keeping a mind on the clock. I mean, at the end of the day, you don't want a draw. You want to have a solid win if you can get that in. That's why I think best of two is going to be great, because, you know, some of these control matches are grueling.
Yeah.
Especially if you're running Ruby. So just know that if you think you're about to lose and you're 99.9% sure, scoop. I mean, you don't have to play everything out. You know your deck and you know when it's pretty unlikely you're going to win. And so scooping feels bad, but if it's the first match, sometimes that's the best thing to do, to just say, okay, we're moving on. Let's go to the next one.
Yeah.
And that's when knowing your deck comes into play, because once you know your deck, you know there's certain situations where you're like, this deck is going to, there's no way I can get out of this. So let's just go on to the next one.
Yep. And these set championships are, I'm pretty sure, will be best of three. So, you know, in order to win the round, you have to win two games. And if, you know, if you lost game one, or let's say you won game one, but now you're on game two and it's just, it's not going well, you know, you can always, forfeit or scoop, as Katie was saying, move on to the next game. And that way you have time to actually win a game that is winnable, when, you know, there might be a game that you just know, like, you can't win. So, you know, you don't want to do that often, but there might be a timer to do that.
Yeah. It's not, no one is like, oh yeah, just give up, because that's not good, but it's strategic. There's a strategic benefit.
There is a strategic way to do it. Yeah, exactly. So, and then in between rounds, you know, just make sure that you're reporting your match wins and like how many games it takes. And then, you know, just be patient, work with the TO, work with the judges to make sure that things are going smoothly. If there is any funny business, report it to a judge. Just always report anything to a judge. They're gonna help you out, and they should make things clear as you go throughout the tournament. And then, yeah, it's just play your best Lorcana, play as best you can.
Yeah, I think everything else is just the normal polite stuff. Like, you know, probably don't eat a burger while playing. Probably don't wear headphones. I've seen some people wear headphones because they're like, I'm listening to music. Probably not the time.
Yeah.
So everything else is like, it makes sense. Once you're there, you're like, oh, yeah, that's not nice. So I think, if you set up, if you plan the day before, if you know the rules, and like Caleb said, you seek an adult when you need help. It should be good.
Yep.
So, hopefully these tips help. And hopefully, if you're thinking, if there's something you're like, well, you didn't cover this, then shoot us a tweet or an email or Instagram. you can do anything. We're happy to respond. We love giving feedback and talking, whether it's about your deck list, strategies, things like that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to try to start a Twitter thread today. Maybe it's already existing before this episode drops or something, or on the day of just like everybody in the community, just throw your tips in there and then bookmark the tweet so that, you know, you can look back at it or something like that. Just keep all the tips in a small spot so that you can reference them and have them to fall back on. So, but like we said at the beginning, you know, we really want Bonus Feature Fridays to be a place where we can, you know, just be a little more experimental, kind of talk about whatever we want, whether it's Lorcana or, you know, Disney related otherwise. So if there's any like off topic thing that you want to hear us talk about, please feel free to email us at questions@HakunaLorcanaPod.com or reach us on Twitter at Hakuna Lorcana. So, thanks for hanging out with us. And as always, Hakuna Lorcana means no worries.